A big part of the program is Dr. Barry Taylor.
I'm the company.
Yeah.
K&N Company.
You're part of the company. You are a big part of the company now, and I'm glad that you are. And if you've missed Dr. Taylor and his previous appearances here on Kale and Company, you might have heard him with Dr. Stephanie. Weekends, you're a frequent guest with Dr. Stephanie. Great show.
Lucky me.
Half hour to health. Yeah. Lucky you was right. I've never been on her show.
Ooh.
She's been on this one, but yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. But
I'm a matchmaker. I can do it. I can bring you two together.
I don't know. You know,
I know a good producer, too. Real good one.
I don't know that much about healthcare, though, in any way, shape, or form. Even though my last name is Kale, it's spelled differently.
I know what the show is going to be.
What's that?
The healing power of a resonant voice.
Oh, is that what it is?
And you're an expert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dr. Taylor is the author of a book, Love Your Body, Your Path to Transformation, Health and Healing, and a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And today, we're going to talk about inflammation.
Okay.
Is that okay? You want to talk about that?
How can we make that interesting?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a personal story.
Please.
That happened to me. It was like about a year ago, I guess. I had a scab.
Okay.
On my left elbow.
Okay.
Okay. And I have to tell you, and why, I don't know. I mean, I should be old enough to know better, but I wasn't.
Mm.
And this was only like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I picked the scab.
Oh.
And it became infected.
Uh-oh.
And I had a real flaming, inflamed inflammation.
And what color was it?
It was red, as I recall.
One of the cardinal signs of an inflammation is red.
Yeah.
And cold or hot?
It was hot.
And second, God.
There you go. You're, bingo.
You're doing the segue great. Yeah. It was inflamed. It was red.
Yeah.
It was hot.
Yeah.
Was it flat or was it larger?
Oh, it was large. It was
larger would mean it was swollen.
Yes, it was swollen.
Another cardinal sign of an inflammation is something that's swollen.
Now, to me, as certainly a layperson when it comes to these things and most things, inflammation to me would always be on the swollen side.
That's part of, if it's hot, swollen, red, possibly loss of function. And did it feel fabulous or was it a little uncomfortable?
It was uncomfortable.
So another, the fifth sign of an inflammation.
It was definitely uncomfortable. It was tough to put the elbow on the table. I'm not supposed to anyway. But,
I don't need to do this show. You've got it all yourself.
No. I want you to take it away. I'm just telling you that.
Yeah, it was painful.
And it was scary too, because it was infected I had some medication for it and rub stuff on it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it worked out. It was gone in a short while, but it was uncomfortable when it was happening. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you asked your close friends and loved ones and family when they see you picking to say, Dr. Ken, please stop.
I've told a few people if they see me picking a scab of any kind.
Nix nay nona picking.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Because I know that's what led to it. You know, I was sitting in this exact location.
Uh-huh.
When I could feel, and it didn't happen immediately. Like I had picked the scab maybe a day or two before, but I was sitting right here during a show, and by the time the show was over, it was really inflamed.
I wonder if there might have been dirt inside the shirt.
It could have been.
Some scabs are meant to come off when they're meant to come off, and sometimes we pick them off a little too early. But the question for another show is, how did it get infected? But infection is one of the causes of inflammation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, as I remember, I had a short sleeve shirt on at the time.
Mm.
And maybe I was sitting like this, perhaps, with both my elbows on the console.
Or on your armchair.
Could have been.
Yeah. Okay.
Could have been. And it could have been infected that way, right?
Okay.
Okay. All right.
We're doing Sherlock Holmes-like detective work.
There you go. But it did, and I went right to one of those clinics.
Oh, dear.
I did.
Uh-oh.
I did.
Okay.
I had to wait a little while, but, they took care of it.
At the break, would you roll up your sleeves so I can do an elbow check on
you? Sure.
Okay,
later.
Later. Okay.
Yeah. You can do an elbow check. I won't give you an elbow check, but you can give you
hockey.
Can check my elbow.
That's a hockey
right.
term. Okay.
Right.
So inflammations as small ones, like, you know, kind, good man that you are sitting here in your chair, making people informed and laugh on the other end of their radio dial, or can be really serious,
yeah.
like inflammation is part of cancer, it's part of arthritis. Anything that's got an ITIS, mm-hmm. colitis, mm-hmm. arthritis, that ITIS end of the word is you got an inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And we get inflammation from toxins, we get inflammation from infections, you get inflammation as an injury that doesn't heal well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listeners can, is it hot? Is it swollen?
Yeah.
Is it painful? You know, is it uncomfortable? Is it red? And do you feel like somewhere, like if it was colitis, the function has changed? If it's your elbow and it's a little scab that comes off and then it gets a mild, minor, sorry, infection, not mm-hmm. a terrible. But if you have a bronchitis, an inflammation of the bronchioles, mm-hmm. maybe you don't breathe as well.
Right.
You know, arthritis, your
yeah.
joints are not. So inflammation, the boring part is it's nature's way of rushing in white blood cells. And to listeners is like, okay, so what? Well, it's nature's way of coping with injuries, autoimmune problems, infections, environmental challenges. But then the inflammation itself becomes something that needs to be dealt with in a different way than Advil or ibuprofen,
right.
which are anti-inflammatories.
Okay.
So people with ulcers, people with allergies, lots of inflammation with people with allergies. It's not just ringing in your ears or itchy eyes or hives. Inflammation's a part of something that people can look at a lot. Sinusitis, itis, the mm-hmm. inflammation of the sinuses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, the listeners can be on the lookout for ITIS on the end of any word. Is, oh, you got an inflammation of your sinus.
Mm-hmm.
So infectious agents cause it. Injuries cause it. Uh-oh. Is there anything you and I do that drives inflammations more? Okay. Deep breath.
Okay.
Lots of coffee. Lots of sugar.
Really?
Lots of red meat. Oh, lots of alcohol. Doesn't mean we can't ever have a beer every
right.
now and then.
Right. Yeah.
Vinegar, dairy, eggplant, tomatoes, grapes, white flour. Alcohol, tobacco, certain foods push the body way acid. Remember, we've talked, I think, in another show about acid-alkaline balance?
Yeah, yeah.
So most cancers only exist in extremely acidic environments. That's why, you know, when I grew up, my mother and father, God bless them, salads were like lettuce and tomatoes, you know, iceberg
right.
lettuce.
Yeah.
Not too much alkalizing there.
Yeah.
You know,
right. yeah.
I think the first time I had broccoli was like I was 20.
Yeah.
The first time I had parsnip was 30. So there are foods that help shift the body more acid, and in the inflammatory process with gum disease or joint disease or bronchioles, all of that, all the inflammation in our body pushes our body acid. Okay, big other factor. Not you, because you're a jovial guy. Do you put Santa costumes on? Most of the time, yeah, because
no.
you're
no.
such a likable guy. But people you know that are lovable, likable, but worry, anxiety,
mm-hmm.
they never have enough time, they never have enough money. It's like never enough is their middle name.
Yeah.
They might love their job, they might love their wife or husband, they might love, but you'd say they're stressed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They're not mellow, whatever happens, happens. And I'm not dissing like nobody should have big goals and nobody driving yourself is terrible. But I'm talking about people who don't know how to put their life in neutral, and sleep's not enough. So when the adrenals are pumping lots, and I don't mean like when a cop pulls you off to give you a ticket.
Right.
But I mean, you're needing your coffee to keep pushing you, and you're needing mm-hmm. your black tea, and you're needing sugars, you're needing tobacco. All of those are sympathetic pushers. Then stress, which increases adrenaline, drives inflammatory processes. And now you see how the deck is stacked against us for heart disease, cancers, and you know, like the question of the morning might be, so how do you turn inflammatory processes around? Because it's not like nobody should ever have alcohol, nobody should ever have white flour or sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you might cut down on it.
All right.
But decades of eating a certain way and living a certain lifestyle is, oh, you know, you come to see somebody like me to get evaluated, or I went to go see a wonderful Chinese herbalist, you know, and wow, you got a lot of inflammation in your body. So it's not about being a purist, but the question we can get into is, so what decreases inflammatory processes?
Decreases. So you're saying emotional stress is one of the causes of inflammation.
And you can't live your life without having emotional stress from time to time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, monks have emotional stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a question of, you know, some of us, you know, you hold, I mean, you know, my two dogs died this past year. It was really hard for me.
Sure.
You know, it was a lot to mourn in a short period of time. So, you know, it's like being successful doesn't mean you never have emotional stress. It's, you know, what kind of tools and strategies you have that might allow you to process it a little bit more elegantly, a little bit more gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
If not, term that I'd say is we somaticize that emotional stress. That means you it's not all in your head, because now, no, it is part of my colitis or my heart palpitations or my allergies. How many people do you know? I have problems with ragweed or grass or dust or molds. But when I'm under stress, those symptoms get worse.
Mm.
So the inflammatory process is related to stress, as well as what we eat, as well as what kinds of challenges our body has.
Now, what about physical stress?
For instance?
Well, I mean, anything you might do on a physical basis.
Strains?
That sort of thing. You twist an ankle or, you know,
we'll
injure yourself in some way.
And if you twisted your ankle or injured you some way, what would your ankle look like?
Probably swell up.
And therefore you got one of the signs.
There
you probably have an inflammation.
Yeah.
Arnica.
Yeah.
Or ice or something.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff happens to all of us through life. I'm talking about chronic inflammation, chronic swollen ankle, you know, chronic lung problems, chronic skin problems, chronic joint problems, chronic digestive problems, where somebody is doing the normal amount of coffee, white flour, you know, sugar, alcohol, red meat, and doesn't realize that acid is just pushing the inflammation. You're not giving your body a good chance to calm down.
All right. Very good. Dr. Barry Taylor is with us. He is the author of Love Your Body, Your Path to Transformation, Health, and Healing. If you have any questions about inflammation, what causes it, and I'm sure there are any number of things that do cause inflammation, and we've touched on some already, and I'm sure we will touch on more as we continue. Dr. Barry Taylor is with us, author of Love Your Body, Your Path to Transformation, Health, and Healing. And we're talking about inflammation today. We've learned that inflammation can come from stress, emotional stress, some physical activity if you injure yourself. What about digestion? Can that ever cause inflammation?
If your digestion is off and you have an ulcer. Now, an ulcer can be from a bacteria. You might have heard of something called H. pylori, Helicobacter. That's actually an infectious agent that can cause an ulcer, which is different than your ulcer is caused because you're worrying or you've got some unresolved emotion. So think of, you know, if you took your fingernail, Ken, and just rubbed your skin and you kept rubbing, what color would it turn?
Probably white.
or
red.
White, and then it would turn red.
Yeah.
So when you take the top layer of the dermis, that's another name for skin, off, it's you're going to get... So the inside of your cheek is like the outside of your skin with the layer with off. Mm-hmm. So inside your esophagus, esophagitis, inflammation of the esophagus.
There you go.
So the ulcer, gastritis, inflammation of the stomach. So, there are a lot of inflammatory processes. Colitis is an inflammation of the colon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could be caused by a gluten allergy. It could be caused by a dairy allergy. It could be caused because you swallow your food half-chewed. I mean, there are lots of things that could cause
any number of things.
Any one of them. So infections drive inflammatory processes, and red hot, swollen, painful, and loss of function. So if you have gastritis, you're burping a lot. If you have colitis, you might have loose stools a lot and have flatulence or bloating. If you have sinusitis, you're having breathing problems. Mm-hmm. If you have laryngitis, see, you forgot all these itises. You didn't realize.
I did not realize that meant.
Yeah, laryngitis is you got an inflammation of your larynx.
Right.
You know, you clear your throat a lot, or you wake up with mucus, and before you have anything, you have to spit out in the sink. You don't just brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you know, I say every day on this program, I learn something. I hope the audience does as well, but I do. I do. And today it's itis.
Itis.
Inflammation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
So it's part of nature's process. You know, it's not bad to have inflammation, except that inflammation then can be something that blocks our ability to heal. It's a little paradoxical. Inflammation is the body's way of protecting itself. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we either can get in the way of the inflammation, resolving whatever the injury, infection, gastritis, laryngitis, we don't realize, you know, that we're moving too fast or eating in a way that's driving the inflammation further and further, or we can do things that could help the inflammation resolve. So how about we get to some positive tips, because dare we leave the listeners hanging?
That would be good.
They would come to the building knocking on the door.
They would protest, yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
So alternating hot and cold. Called hydrotherapy.
Yeah.
It's different than an injury. The first thing you're going to do is ice it, right? But if you've got a chronic inflammation, you want to put an ice pack or a cold cloth and then put heat on it and then put cold on it, and you alternate hot and cold. What's that going to do? It's called vascular gymnastics. We're going to get the vascularization to improve better circulation. Because your elbow might have healed a little less quickly than if it was maybe on the top of your forearm or if it was in your thigh. Mm-hmm. Don't pick any scabs on your thigh.
No more scabs will be picked.
Because there's more blood flow on your forearm than in your thigh, whereas there's not a whole lot of blood flow because it's called your bone. It's called
I have bony elbows.
Bony elbows.
I do.
So alternating hot and cold can improve the inflammatory process and help it along, going in the direction it wants to go, because you're improving circulation. Two, acid or alkaline, which one is inflammation?
Acid.
Thank you so much. So eating more veggies. Thank you for listening. It's so great. Thank you for listening. So eating more veggies. The veggies that are not alkaline are only a few exceptions. First of all, tomatoes really are a fruit, because if something has a seed, it's technically a fruit. Mm-hmm. But most people put tomatoes with veggies as opposed to with peaches and plums and
oranges.
Tomatoes, I generally don't. If somebody's got a real significant inflammatory process, and I want to help balance their body for a little bit of time, it's not never have tomatoes. Although inorganic tomatoes are picked rock hard green. They're put on a conveyor belt that's got these metal pricks that shoot red dye into them so that they can last for weeks that they get shipped. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do tomatoes, preferably organic, preferably, or hydroponic, they're grown inside, as opposed to stuff that's bought, sprayed, and then put red dye in it. However, we digress. Eggplant.
And, you know, I have to say, there's another thing.
Yes.
I never knew they did that.
They do that, yeah.
Yeah.
There are a few things, you know, bananas are sprayed. They're picked rock hard green, and they're sprayed with sulfates. And tomatoes are picked rock hard green, and then to get them red, they're dyed. Okay. So tomatoes are red. Tomatoes are acid. Eggplants are acid. Vinegar is acid. So if someone's got a raging infection, someone's got chronic bronchitis. Mm-hmm. Someone's got chronic dermatitis.
Dermatitis.
There you go. See,
is that a skin issue?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Inflammation of the skin.
Okay.
And it's not quite as specific as an eczema or psoriasis, right. But the dermatitis will be a general skin irritation. Then, and someone says, what can I do? Well, yeah, there are herbs that are highly specific for the skin and do more vitamin A. But if we're talking about in the general, before we get specific, you might want to cut down, maybe out. I'm not here to say never, but you might want to cut down the acid-forming foods and increase the more alkaline foods. And now we're talking about spinach and kale and chard and carrots and beets and beet greens and celery and all the veggies. Just remember, eggplants are acidic and
tomatoes. Yeah.
Fruits that are acidic are pineapple.
Yeah.
And grapes have something called malic acid.
Malic acid.
M-A-L-I-C. So if someone's got arthritis and they say, hey, could you help me? I say, well, maybe cut down on the grapes. Do you eat a lot of grapes? No. Okay, so it's no big deal. You won't suffer if you don't have any. And we're going into fall and winter, for you know, and so we're not going to do a ton of fruit anyway. Fruit tends to warm the body. So vitamin C is an antioxidant that will help reduce inflammatory processes. Not ascorbic acid. It has to be the buffered form of vitamin C. Fresh squeezed grapefruit juice is a good source. Remembering fresh squeezed orange juice, most of it's sugar water because it's pasteurized. Mm-hmm. Vitamin C is very, very heat sensitive. You boil oranges, sorry, it's like orange colored sugar water. There's no vitamin C in it. They have to add it back. Now, there are some kitchen herbs that you know of that are widely used that are fabulous as anti-inflammatory that can really be helpful. Turmeric is a powder you can get. Now, it's one of the super trendy foods these days in health.
Turmeric. Okay.
Yeah, it's a yellow. It's used in curry, and then they make capsules, and they make it in a powder. I use it in a formula that I use that I put in protein shakes for people. Cinnamon. Here's one that's been used for thousands of years. Ginger.
Okay, yeah.
Fabulous.
I love ginger.
Yeah.
Love ginger.
It's a fabulous anti-inflammatory. Cayenne pepper. Bunch of herbs that are really great for decreasing inflammation. Now, black tea will shift you a little bit more acid. Like coffee will shift you more acid.
Yeah.
Green tea has a lot of anti-inflammatory properties.
Okay.
Concentrated fish oils. So certain fish like salmon is high in fish oil. Sardines are high in fish oil. Or you can buy fish oil capsules. Make sure you get a real high quality one.
So sardines are good.
Sardines are very good if you've got inflammation.
Okay.
Yep. Fish oil in general has a lot of anti-inflammatory processes, properties. Now, there are two other things that are even simpler than anything I've just said. Making sure you hydrate. We're 78% water. When you have an inflammation in your body, it does all sorts of things biochemically. And to help you kind of wash things through, if you will, make sure you're drinking 4, 5, 6 glasses of water a day. Two, exercise. Moving your body. In water, in air, in space, walking. You don't have to run 5-10 miles. Just moving your body. It could be in your living room. You know, we're just dancing. Put on Ken and dance as he talks to you during the afternoon. exercise can really help your body from an moving inflammations through your body more easily. One last thing I wanted to share with you, because you were good a few moments ago before the break in picking up that if someone's really stressed out and they're holding it for weeks or months, job, money, divorce, moving, fires, crises, and we all get challenged in life, and it's then some kind of relaxation strategy, painting, pottery, clay molding. I hesitate to use the word meditation because people think of meditation as something they got to put their butt on a cushion and sit and.
But it's not
something.
Bada
boom.
Bada
boom. So that anything that helps change your mindset, you know, you could put on delightful music, you know, maybe not Purcell trumpets and Vivaldi, you know, fast violins, but, you know, maybe not hard metal rock, but something that you resonate with that would you would find relaxing and soothing. Debussy's Clair de Lune. Then there's a lot of research about relaxation strategies, visualizations, meditations, changing physiology. Because what you're doing is you're upregulating the parasympathetic nervous system. And we talked about stress before the break, when then the adrenals are pumping adrenaline out. So when you're meditating or relaxing, Tai Chi, yoga, anything that has you appreciate beauty is going to probably disengage your sympathetic nervous system and engage your parasympathetic nervous system.
Oh, that's a lot to take in.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to take in, but it's great advice. It's great advice. No, I meditation, I mean, people think, it, like you say, you've got to sit on a mat somewhere and cross your legs and all this kind of thing. But really,
it's one form.
You can, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be that way, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so now it's my turn for a small story, but this will be very short. So I'm taking you back a long time. I'm taking you back to around 1970.
Okay. I was around then.
And I was living in Brighton. I was in college at the time, and I was attempting, I would say, to meditate with one of my professors at Brandeis. My undergraduate degree was in comparative religion. And I would just sit on a cushion and think. And I was getting very, very frustrated. And the guy across the hall in my apartment building, somehow, I don't remember, but somehow, he also meditated. He didn't go to school. He was older than me. And we were going up the stairs of the apartment one day, and I said, he said, how are you doing? I said, you know, I'm really frustrated. I don't think I'm doing this meditation right. He said, why not? I said, well, I'm just all I'm doing is thinking. You know, should I go to the movies? What am I going to have to eat? You know, should I call that person? All I'm doing is thinking. I said, how's your meditation going? He said, it's really good. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, when I put my hand on the doorknob, I become really present to that my hand is touching the knob to open it. That's my meditation. Profound.
That is profound. Yeah.
It stayed with me for the last 50 years. Oh, you can practice monk-like and sit on a cushion, you know, with a mantra or a voice or the Lord's Prayer or, you know, St. Francis of Assisi prayer or any one of a number of sounds.
Sure.
Or you can just bring your observation, your sense of being so present that it's Las Vegas neon lights, presence.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a different kind of practice.
Different kind of meditation
you
right
could do,
there.
Just practice that for 10 minutes as opposed to just going in and out of doors, not thinking.
Dr. Barry Taylor, always great to see you. Great advice today, as always. The book is Love Your Body, Your Path to Transformation, Health, and Healing. And we will see you real soon.
God bless. Thanks for having me. Always good to be with you.
Our pleasure.